Joshua chapter number 14. Joshua chapter number 14. I'm going to preach a message tonight that God laid upon my heart. I'm going to preach this message entitled, I Want God's Best and I Won't Settle for Less. You're going into the revival meeting this week, right? You ought to be excited about that, praising God that you have an opportunity to be in God's house every night this week. Hey, you speaking to a missionary, I'm in God's house every day of my life right now. I love being in God's house, hearing God's Word, preaching God's Word. But tonight, I want you to sit there and think about this for a moment. I want God's best, and I won't settle for less. When God saved my soul, I said, God, I want what you want for my life. That should be all of our desires tonight. I want what God wants for my life. You got your Bible there in Joshua chapter number 14, starting in verse number 6. I'm going to start reading there in verse number 6. And you got your place, you can stand for the reading of God's Word. I don't know if you do that here or not. Do y'all do that? Amen. I won't make you stand in all of them, but start reading verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again that was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he has said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain wherefore the Lord spake him that day. For thou heardest in that day how the city of the Amalekites were there, and that the cities were great in fence. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became an inheritance unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, and to this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Let's pray. Tonight, Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this church. Lord, out here, Lord, praising your name for how good you are. Lord, they stand and they praise your name by song and by the preaching. I thank God they stand by your word. But tonight, Lord God, I pray, Lord, for each and every one of us in here tonight would say, I want God's best and I won't settle for less. Lord, may we desire the will of that you have for us, Lord, the direction you would have us to be. Lord, may we praise your name for how good you are tonight. Lord, would you prepare our hearts of these people here for revival this week? Lord, would you prepare my heart and each and every one of us' heart for revival? May our prayer tonight be, Lord, revive me tonight. Lord, I'll be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory for all that you do in our midst. And it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What we're reading here is when Caleb and Joshua are sitting there listening to get the promised land, if you will, Hebron, that was promised to him many years back by Moses, because God told Moses, because Caleb and Joshua actually done something that the other ones did not. We know if you look back in the book of Numbers, you'll find out how many men went to spy out Canaan. How many men was it? 12. And there was how many? I used to sing a church song like this. There was how many bad? 10 were bad and 2 were good. And the 2 that was good right here is Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb are sitting here now, and they're sitting here listening to hear exactly what Caleb has been waiting for years. What Caleb has been getting him through the life. And he's saying, hey, in verse number 12, he said, I want that mountain. Tonight, look at that mountain as God's best for your life. Let me tell you, first off, God has given you your very best already when he gave his son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. But God's got a best for you, a place for you. And tonight, we need to say, I want God's best for me. I want to be in Bolivia as quick as possible. Because that's where God wants me right now. I want to be where God wants me. And each and every one of us, they say, I want God's best. We're going to look at the life of Caleb tonight. And I'm just going to go over three quick points that we all need to be looking at and saying, if I want God's best and I'm not going to settle for less, I need to look towards Caleb. You might look at me tonight and say, Brother Brian, don't you believe God is a permissive God? Don't you think He gives us, we serve a God of second chances? I praise God we serve a God of second chances, ain't you? But let me ask you this. Why would you want God's second best or third best or fourth best tonight when you can have God's very best? You don't have to settle for anything else. There's too many Christians nowadays that compromise their faith and they say, I just settle for that. No, I want what God wants for me. I don't want to settle. I want to be where God wants me. How about you tonight, church? I want to be where God wants me. And I could have settled and been in Wyoming right now, but praise God, I've been completely out of the will of God. I want to be where God wants me. Caleb said, I want God's best, and I won't settle for less. I want that mountain. Eleazar and them were sitting there, and they were saying, hey, we're listening to give out this promised land. And can't you just, when I read my Bible, I picture it. Sometimes it gets me in trouble. But when I read my Bible, I bring all my senses I can in on it. My wife will tell you this, I like to picture what's going on. I like to read it, and I like to listen to it at the same time. It lets my senses all get entwined there as I'm reading the words of God. When I'm sitting there and I'm reading David and Goliath, I'm cheering old David on. Get him, boy! Cut his head off! I mean, I love to hear it. I love to picture the Word of God. And right here what I'm picturing is old Caleb is sitting here. And Eleazar is sitting there saying, we're going to get to the promised land finally. And I want y'all to just picture with me for a minute what Caleb is saying. I'm pretty sure he didn't say, well, something happened. I was promised something. No, he said, hey, in verse number 12, I want that mountain. He started shouting from the top of his lungs saying, I want God's best for my life. I want to be where God wants me. He said, I want it. I can't have anything else. I want to be where God wants me. He wanted it when he was 40 years old, when he was promised that land. He said, I want to be there. I want to take it. He said, I don't care about them giants. I don't care about them great cities that are fenced and walled. My God is able to get me to it. And he said, I want God's best. Praise God for that. But if we want God's best, there's three things we need to look at in the life of Caleb and apply it to our life. Number one, we need to be committed. That's almost like a bad word in our country today. People don't like commitment at all. Caleb was committed. There was a phrase that we mentioned three times in our text in verse number 8, verse number 9, and verse number 14. There's a phrase that at the end of each one of them. Anybody want to guess what it is? He wholly followed the Lord, my God, in verse number 8 and 9. In verse number 14, he says he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He said, I gave God my whole heart. He said, I believe in my God. He said, I trust my God. There's too many people today that say, I give God everything but this. Caleb said, God, you got it all. God, I'm committed to you. When God called me to that country of Bolivia, told him, showed me that he wanted me to be there, I was committed to it. I said, God, I'll get there in your timing. God, you know the churches that will take us on for support. God, it's all you. You'll get me there in your time, and he's blessed that. When we're committed to God, God says, thank you. I can hear him saying, well done, my good and faithful servant, in his own head. You're doing what you're supposed to. We need to trust God. We need to be committed to God. But that phrase said, he wholly followed the Lord thy God. Anybody know what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says? Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All. Most people say, I trust in the Lord with a little bit of my heart. I trust in the Lord with some of my heart. But no, I trust in the Lord with some things, but man, I ain't going to trust him with all. Caleb said, I trust with the Lord with all my heart. And I lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways I'll acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Praise God, Caleb had it right. And what a picture it is for us today. We need to say, I want God's best, and I'm committed to it. Picture here what's going on. Here's this man that was promised this land 45 years prior. And now he's sitting there, and it's getting promised to him, right? But I want you to think about what all he had to endure and see through them 40 years in the wilderness. He saw his friends falling by the wayside. He saw family members passing away. I mean, he saw children of Israel turning away from God. We know that they didn't follow God the way they should. We got the Word of God. He got to see all that, but he had something that kept him going. Wonder what it was. He had a promise from God. I love to sing this song, Standing on the Promises of God. God don't ever sell us out. He always keeps every promise. He fulfills every need. Praise God, we can trust our God. And Caleb said, I'm committed to God because He's committed to me. He promised me this promised land. Ain't you happy in here tonight that God promised you a place as well? Ain't you in here tonight saying, well, God promised me a place, and that's the place to be keeping us committed to doing God's will. Caleb said, I saw all the people fall by the wayside, but I got a promise from God, and I'm committed. Verse 8, 9, and 14, he wholly followed the Lord thy God. You know that phrase is only mentioned 6 times in the entire Bible? That phrase there, wholly followed the Lord my God. So the other 3 times are mentioned back in Numbers. And guess who he's talking about? The same man we're talking about now. The same man. And he said, I wholly follow the Lord my God. He said, I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to fall by the wayside. I'm trusting in my Lord. And when we trust in God, it can get us through some hard times. When we trust in God and we're committed to God's will, it can get us through them valleys. Brother, who sung that song a while ago about the valley? When we're in that valley, when we say, my God can get me through it. Caleb saw it. What's we seeing now? He said, I'm committed. I see that promised land. And here he is in verse number 12. Hey, I want that mountain. I want God's best for my life. He said, I want to be where God wants me to be. Man, praise God. We have people that still today said, I want to be where God wants me to be. How about you? Are you committed what God wants you to do? Are you willing to do whatever God says? This is what I want you to do. We need to say, I'm committed to God. Caleb was. Number 2, if we want God's best and we won't settle for less, we need to be confident. We need to be confident. Notice what it says in verse number 9. It says, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy foot have trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou have wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb did not just say, well, my God said, I love calling him my God. How about you? I mean, that's personal. That's my God. And praise God, he's big enough that he can be your God as well, right? Hey, praise God for that tonight. But he said, I trust my God. He said, I remember hearing verse number 9, what he's saying here. God said, that's going to be mine. He said, surely where thy foot have trodden, and my feet have trodden all ever, Hebron. He said, that's going to be mine. And I believe God is able. Yeah. Ain't you glad able tonight? We used to sing a song in junior church too. He's able. He's able, I know he's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Caleb said, my God is able. I trust in my God. I've given him my whole heart, and I know that that place, Hebron, is going to be mine. See, Caleb did not have to worry about anything. He didn't have to worry about dying in the wilderness. Did God tell him he was going to die in the wilderness? No. Did God told him that you're going to have... This is going to be your land, Caleb, and your children's. For how long? Forever. And he said, this is going to be yours. And he said, I believe in my God. He said, I don't have to doubt him. So many people today, they doubt God. It bothers me nowadays, Pastor, how so many people sit there and they say, I trust God with my salvation. That I trust God with my salvation. Praise God, we can trust God with our salvation, right? That makes me feel good. But when it comes down to the problems in our life, we just sit there and we take God out of it. We say, I got this. Or I can do that. I can't do nothing without him. And he said, I can do this. Caleb said, no, I trust in my God, and my God is going to see me through it. I read this story one time about this soldier, this French soldier. He was a soldier under Napoleon, and they got shot in the chest, and as the surgeon was sitting there removing the bullet, the soldier looked into the surgeon's eyes, and he said, sir, if you go any deeper, you're going to come into the emperor. Let me ask you tonight, if people dig deep enough in your chest, are they going to find the Savior? Are you committed? Are you confident and trusting in your God? He ain't never let you down, and he never will. Praise God, and we got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, we got millions, thousands of promises in the Word of God that He had never let us down on. Praise God, we got a promised land that we can be confident that we can see one day. Let me ask you tonight, We know we got a promised land. Are we having the same desire that Caleb said? We're saying, I want that mountain. I'm committed to you, God. I'm confident in you, God, that you can get me to it. I tell you what, that makes me feel good knowing that I got a home in heaven. Man, I sit there and I think about now I'm a missionary. I live in a motor home. Most of the time I got rid of our house back in June. Live in a motor home. But I ain't worried about that motor home because I got a mansion. Praise God for that. I ain't got to worry about the things on this earth because, like the pastor said, I'm just a passing through. This world is not my home. Praise God for that. I got them promises I can be confident in, but I want to tell the world about Him as well. We need to tell this lost and dying world that they can have that same kind of confidence in Jesus Christ. And lastly, we know we need to be committed. We know we need to be confident. Number three, we need to realize there's going to be some conquests. There's going to be some battles. Notice what it says in verse number 11 and 12. It says, as yet, I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain wherefore the Lord spake in that day. For I heard of in that day how the Amalekites were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. I love this part here. If so, the Lord would be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. What he's sitting here saying, I told you when I read my Bible, I picture it, right? Picture verse number 11 with me just for a moment. It said, as today, what he's saying there, he's saying, I'm just as strong today as I was when I was 40 years old. And when I picture that, I picture this 85-year-old man. Now, just picture this with me for a moment. Let's get our minds off of what I look like. I know I'm ugly. But sit there and just think about this picture. This 85-year-old man. And he's sitting there and he's standing in front of everybody. Eleazar, the priest, and he's getting the promised land. He's saying, I want that mountain. And here he is in verse number 11 saying, I'm just as strong today as I was then. He says, I'm just as strong today as I was then for war, both to go out and to come in. He said, I'm ready. So just picture this for a moment. I picture when I read this as 85-year-old man taking his walker, chunking it as far as he can, and saying, woo, I got this. I'm strong, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. He said, my God is able. And I want you to think what the children of Israel probably said. That man is crazy. I mean, Caleb, do you know what you're saying? Caleb, this Amalekites there, you know what an Amalekite is? It's a giant. The sons of Anak. Goliath was an Amalekite. He was a giant. And he said, there's giants there. And Caleb said, I don't care. My God is able. And Caleb said, I picture this. Caleb sitting there saying, I want it. I'm ready to fight these battles. I'm ready to fight them giants. I'm going to ask you tonight, what is a giant? I'm going to give you a good Mississippi definition of a giant. Anything bigger than you are. Yeah. Caleb said, I'm ready to go up against them giants. I'm ready to fight these battles. Tonight, let me ask you, are you really ready to stand up against the giants that's facing you down right now? All of us face giants. Some of us can be giants of financial problems. Some of us can be giants of health problems. We face giants. I faced a giant when God called me into Bolivia. I said, God, you want me there, but they speak a different language. So I went to some schooling and I said, I need to learn a different language. Bolivia's got 37 different languages, 3 national languages, Spanish being the number one. I'm an old southern boy from Mississippi. You hear my talk? I got to learn Spanish. So I went to the school and I said, hey, I need to learn Spanish and I need to know what I need to do to learn this language the best I can. They said, oh, we're going to tell you. Number one, you cannot, what they say, you can't be over the age of 25 years old. I said, X that off. Number two, you got to be musically inclined. You should be able to play some music, hear some music, know music when you hear it. I said, I barely play a radio. Number three, I said, you can't be from the South. I looked at him, I said, lady, it's too bad. She said, why? I said, I'm still learning Spanish. She said, why? I said, because my God is able. Hola, como esta me llamo Brian, y tú? Solo Jesús, salvar. Only Jesus saves. Hey, they said you can't do it, but my God said, oh, my grace calls you to it, my grace will see you through it. Caleb said, I trust my God, and I'm ready to fight them battles. I'm ready to go up against them giants because my God, in verse number 12, is there with me. Even so, the Lord will be with me. He said, let's go. And you look right across the chapter, in chapter number 15, and verse number 14, it said, and then Caleb drew thence the son of Anak. He ran them old giants out, running, screaming. I like to think, oh, about an old hound dog with a tail between his legs. He was gone because God was get Caleb. He said, I'm ready. I know them battles are coming, but I'm ready. See, Caleb knew something that we all need to realize tonight. Caleb knew that everything happens in God's timing. Everything happens God's way. And Caleb said, I want to be in God's will. He said, I want that mountain. I want God's best for my life. Most of us, when we sit there and we say, God shows us something, we say, I want it now. And I want it my way. We got a Burger King theology. No, Burger King has a slogan, I want have it your way. That's how we all want it. We need to realize we need it God's way. Amen. And Caleb said, I want it God's way. Because he was committed, because he was confident, he was willing to fight them battles. He said, I want it God's way because God's way is best. Yeah. Not only is God's way best, but God's will is best, and Caleb knew it. I mean, he knew exactly what Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1 and 2 says, where Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He said, I beg you. That word beseech means beg. He knew exactly what it means. Paul was saying, I beg you therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it goes on, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise God. We need to be our minds renewed tonight. But I love the last part of that verse when it says, for you can prove that, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Caleb knew that God's will was perfect. Amen. Tonight we need to say, God's will is perfect for my life. God's way is perfect for my life. And we need to accept it in God's timing. And man, praise God when we're in them valleys. And praise God when we're in the mountaintops. Because our God is good, not sometimes, but all the time. Caleb said, my God's good, and my God's able, and my God is going to help me face them giants. That same God that was doing it then, let me tell you a little secret, he's still doing it today. The Bible says, he is the Lord, he changeth not. Praise God for that. It's the same God. He's still able. Don't doubt him. We need a heart like Caleb tonight and say, man, I need to be committed to God. I need to be confident that God's able. And I'm ready to face these old battles in my life. I'm ready to face whatever Satan tries to throw in my way because I know the one that's fighting right beside me. Hebrews 13:5 says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God, he's always right there. We know when Peter started sinking, when he stepped out by faith out of that boat, he looked toward the Lord and said, oh, Lord, save me. And praise God, Jesus grabbed him by the hand. He started floating again, right? Hey, our God's there. We just need to depend upon him. Let me ask you this. I close with this tonight, Pastor. Anybody heard of the missionary named Nate Saint? Anybody at all? Couple? Anybody ever heard of Jim Elliott? Probably seen more hands, yeah. Elizabeth Elliott. Well, Nate Saint was actually one of the missionaries that died with Jim Elliott on that sandbar in Ecuador. Five of them total. Nate Saint was one of them. There was a reporter one day that wanted to do a report on Nate Saint. And when he went there, he said, I got to go to Ecuador. I got to see the place where Nate Saint died. So he went down to Ecuador, and he started looking for somebody to fly him to that sandbar, the place where Nate Saint, the other ones, died that day, giving their life for Christ. And he said, I got to see the place. So about 3 days passed, and a man got in touch with him. He said, sir, I'll fly you to the place where you want to go. The reporter said, well, that's good. I want to see the place where Nate Saint died. The pilot said, we'll leave out tomorrow morning. Meet me here. We'll go and get my plane, and I will take you to where you want to go. So they got up in there the next morning, and the reporter started looking at his GPS and his paperwork, and he said, we need to go this way and that way. And finally, they got to the place where the reporter said, there it is. There's the place where Nate Saint died. The pilot said, no, sir. That's not the place where Nate Saint died. Reporter kind of looked at him with strange eyes. He said, "Sir, X marks the spot. That's surely the spot where Nate Saint died. I mean, there's the trees, and there's the riverbank. There's the sandbar. That's where Jim Elliot and all of them gave their life, and that's where Nate Saint died that day." Reporter said, "No, sir." I mean, the pilot said, "No, sir." The reporter said, "Turn around. Come back over one more time. Treetop high." He said, "I got to see the place where Nate Saint died." They came back in at treetop high, and the reporter was sitting there, and he said, "Pilot, that's the place I'm telling you." And by this time, the pilot had tears in his eyes. And he said, "No, sir, that's not the place where Nate Saint died." The reporter said, "Sir, you don't understand. All of them died that day. The whole group of them died. They got killed for their cause of Christ. They were sitting there telling these people about Jesus, and they actually got killed." The reporter said, "No, sir, I was there when Nate Saint died." That reporter looked at the pilot and said, "Sir, what do you mean you was there when Nate Saint died?" He said, "See, I went to college with Nate Saint." He said, "On a Tuesday night, Nate came into our dorm room, and he said, there's a revival." You're having a revival this week, right? "There's a revival going on right down the road, and we need to go." He said, "They went in that revival that night, and the preacher was preaching this mediocre message about dying to self and living for Christ." He said, "And by the time the preacher got done, he offered an old-fashioned invitation call. And he said, I noticed that Nate wasn't sitting beside me anymore." He said, "I looked up there, and Nate was sitting on the old-fashioned altar, just like this, weeping." He said, "I saw the preacher over there talking with Nate." He said, "And that night, Nate Saint died." He said, "Might not have died physically, but he died to himself that night. And that's why he was able to go die physically on that sandbar in Ecuador. Because he was willing to die to himself." He said, "God, I want your best." He said, "God, I want to be where you want me. And that's the place you have me to be. Whatever it is, I want it." He said he was able to give his life for the cause of Christ. And people today are still hearing about it. People today are still, man, praising Nate and Jim and all, saying, man, they was good warriors of the faith, good martyrs for Christ. It's all because he was willing to die to self. Tonight, I want God's best. Church, you want God's best tonight? Amen. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for anything else. Settle for what God has for you. Let's die to ourselves and say, tonight, I'm going to make a resolution in my heart. I'm going to start living for Christ. Bow our heads and close your eyes.